Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio, and I, of course, am Dan Frio. Please check me out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere you can to try to find out information that will only help you. I'm doing this basically for anybody in real estate. I don't care if you're a buyer, a realtor, an attorney, your son or daughter is maybe looking to buy a house. Times are changed, guys. The mortgage process isn't like, you know, it was years ago. So if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, here's a common question I get a lot of times from mom or dad. Well, you know, you can't buy a house yet. You don't have 20% down. You don't need 20% down. Have them call me. Have them call me and I'll go through all the programs available today. What I want to go over right now is the number one mistake that people do when applying for a mortgage.
George, use a red pen. No?
No.
Oh, I always got points deducted for using red ink.
The number one thing, and I did research on this, believe it or not, is they, during the mortgage process, after they're pre-approved, they go out and buy a car.
Oh, geez.
I've had it done.
Don't leave your credit alone.
And you would think that, you know, it's like, whoa. That is the number one thing that people do that shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that 2 seconds before your loan is closed, it can all fall apart.
It can.
There is nothing set in stone until everything's signed.
Until you sign, see
title company
wired.
Has the wires done and everything done.
So that's the number one thing. Here's some other things that I would highly suggest you as the home buyer to watch for or notify us about or not do. Basically, what I try to tell my clients is at this stage of your life, freeze. What I mean by freeze, don't change jobs. Even if you get a huge job offer to move over here for twice the pay.
Yeah, get the loan done.
Hold off. Unless you're building a house and it's going to take you 6 months or a year, that's a whole different story. But if it's just a matter of, you know, 2-3 weeks, please hold off. Don't go out and buy furniture for the new house yet and get, well, they have free financing for 24 months, so we bought $10,000 worth of furniture. No. Your car broke and there's no way to get to work. Please rent one. Call your insurance agency, see if they'll cover anything for you. I know some of this might not sound like like I care.
But don't rack it up on a credit card.
Don't rack it up on a credit card. So, but the number one thing, and believe it or not, it was car/boats. So a lot of people might be on the coast or in those areas because you're looking at it. What's the average car price now? $30,000, $40,000, $50,000? I mean, that's going to add $300, $400, $500 to your monthly budget. You might have just fit. So, you know, the number one thing is, you know, going out and buying a car. So basically, like I said, basically freeze things. Let me go to number two. Since we're on this subject and it just popped in my head, cash. Cash. I have a lot of clients and sometimes I forget to ask this. Is I'll go through the application, I'll get them approved. I'll say, you know, how much money do you have set aside for your down payment? $10,000. Sweet. That's more than we need, but that's great. Okay, who do you bank with? Chase. Okay, cool. My assumption, bad me, is you have $10,000 at Chase. That might not be the fact. And I've run into this not once, not twice, dozens of times. The money is cash. You can't use cash. You can't use cash in the transaction. If you said, okay, Dan, well, it was in my safe. I just deposited it in the bank. If we can't validate a sale or income, or we can't validate that money's in any way, we call it kind of trace it, track it. You can't use it. It's going to get backed out of your bank account. So cash, you would think is cash is king, not in real estate. Reason why is real estate is the number one tool of laundering money, believe it or not. And that's in the whole world, basically. Laundering money in real estate is the number one way that people do it. So cash, you cannot use, okay? So I'll throw this over to you, George. When you were all buying your home,
yeah,
anything that you completely flubbed, you can think of. Or I'll rephrase it another, more generic way. Do you know of anybody, or have you seen scenarios, or have you talked to somebody that did something, and you're like, man, why did you do that?
Yes. Yes, and not just on home buying, but on pretty much any subject. One of the things that we did wrong as we were going through is these were things that we learned in the process. So by the time we actually got to the house that we bought, we had refined that process, and we weren't making these mistakes anymore. But one of the things that we did early on was, we paid off a bunch of things, and we closed a bunch of accounts. And so this is all things you've gone over before, but there were things that we knew were negatively impacting our credit, and because of that, we thought, let's just get rid of these things. But we had time in the process to fix that.
Yeah.
But what I see most often is people who, they say, I want to put as much as I can down on the house, which is great, but they get 20% down on the house. And then I actually had a friend of mine, I should say his name.
No.
Because he's a jerk, but I won't. but he is a good friend. And he put like 23% down, and he was like, all right, I got this budget, I got that budget, I got that budget. I said, okay, whatever. Can you help me move? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. Came to the point he had closed on the house. He was going to help move. Couldn't afford to rent a truck.
Oh, geez. I was there. My wife and I, our first house, every penny.
Yeah.
Every penny we had we put down.
And you couldn't afford to move.
Well,
that's where this guy ended up.
Well, basically, we got there and we couldn't, that night, we couldn't go get groceries.
Yeah.
We had no money.
Yeah.
I mean, no money.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh boy. So I always, not that I want you to finance more.
Right.
But that's huge.
Well, and the other thing with as far as money at closing and stuff like that, this was another friend of mine. She really didn't know what she was doing. And her parents were sort of guiding her through the process based on their like 1978 knowledge.
Yeah.
So that was the last time they had bought a house.
Yep.
But so she was sort of off in this whole thing. And I was being told about this after the fact. This wasn't during the process, so I didn't have any input in it. But she went ahead and bought a few things for the house. No, she didn't go crazy. She didn't buy $10,000 worth of furniture or anything like that. But she went out and she's, she bought curtains and she bought a new bed and some things like that. And what she did was she used money out of her bank account to buy those things.
Man.
Now, not a big deal. It's better than putting it on a credit card, in general. Mm-hmm. But going up to the closing, all of a sudden, she didn't have all of the money that they had verified for her to have in that account. And it didn't even take away the money she needed to close. She had enough to close.
A lot of times you need reserves.
But yes, they were like, no, we verified that you needed to have this certain amount in the bank, and they had to put off her closing for a month and a half so she could recoup that. Yeah, so she could put money back in from her paychecks.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's you don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
And that's the whole point of this show.
And even more dangerously, like I was saying, she was relying on her parents who had bought a number of houses, but the last one was before I was born.
Yeah.
So you can't say
it's a completely different world.
Right.
Completely different.
Even from 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago when we bought our house.
Yeah.
There's a lot of differences.
But that's the whole gist of this show. You might sit there and say, I get this. But we podcast this, we YouTube this, we do everything with this to get the word out. Please share it. Please like it. Please post it. Anything you can do to help us get the word out. People don't know what they don't know. And again, because you don't know this, or you might be a realtor. If you're listening to this show, you're watching me on YouTube, you have an Instagram account, anything. Send it out to your clients. They don't have to use me.
Right.
But just so to avoid hitting a brick wall, you go to the closing and it's like, well, you can't close. Why? Yeah. You spent your money.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know I couldn't spend my money. Well,
but I have enough for the down payment, right, and I have enough for the flood insurance, and I have enough for the title, and I have enough for all that. No, it doesn't matter. A lot of people don't realize they go through your bank records and say, okay, we've verified these certain amount, and we had money that had come from a relative for a completely unrelated thing, but they said, well, we have to exclude that. I said, that's fine, because that money isn't for this.
Got it.
But if you end up in a position where you have, you know, you're saying, okay, we're scraping some things together to try to buy this house. Let's say you only have 10 grand in the bank and you need eight of it to close.
Right.
You better keep that other two.
Yeah.
Don't spend it on things. If you have 8,200 in the bank and you need 8,000 to close, they might say no.
Yep. It's like I said, it's things like this that you don't know what you don't know. So please help me share the information around, because it might be the difference of you buying that house. Or in your case, she was fortunate enough that it was a month and a half.
Yes.
The seller was would wait a month and a half.
Many, yeah, she actually lost a job opportunity.
Got it.
She was moving there for that job. Had to close in the house, wasn't able to get it done soon enough. She did find another job. This is in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
She did find another job, luckily.
Wow.
But like you say, when, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Even more dangerous is thinking that you know.
Yep.
I spent close to two decades in heating and air. I don't know everything about heating and air.
Yeah.
But it's very tempting for me to think at some point, oh, yeah, I know all about this.
Well, I always tell people, please don't guess.
No.
Even my underwriters. And I always tell people,
don't take one source of information.
And I always tell people, the one thing, you might stump me. I won't guess. I'll find the facts and then get back with you with the facts.
That's right.
So please stay tuned in the next segment. We're going to go over facts in regards to some credit things, collections, closing accounts, charge-offs, stuff like that. So I hope you find that informative. God bless. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. What I want to talk about in this segment, I always try to make, and not always, but most of the time I try to make segment two about credit. You might not, you know, be buying a house, so you don't care about your down payments and what FHA does for your VA or conventionals or, you know, debt ratios and all that other stuff. Segment two, it applies to everybody. I don't care who you are. You're not looking to buy a house, but you might be getting a car. You might be applying for a student loan. You might be applying for a job. You might need insurance for your car or insurance. You might be looking to rent. Every entity involved in those are most likely going to pull your credit. So I want to go over some credit things to avoid, to not knock down your credit scores. Most people don't have an 800 credit score. I think credit scores are finally hit their highest in history, and I think they just hit like 710, if I recall. The top bucket when it comes to credit scores is 740. So once you're at 740, you're basically peaked out of all the best programs in town. So if you have a 740, 741, or an 800, you're going to get the same mortgage rate. You're probably going to get the same insurance quotes. You're probably going to get the same car rate, those things. So what we want to do is not only increase your credit scores, we want to stop the reduction in your credit scores. So George mentioned earlier, he had, he closed some accounts. So we're going to go through some closed accounts. I have a client recently, their credit was or is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But their credit scores were terrible. And
really?
I'm going through it. They had like 10 years of credit.
Because they weren't using the credit?
They closed everything.
Oh.
So she went to, she's like, I think I talked to her about 2-3 years ago. And I said, you know, you don't debt ratio. So we need to get your accounts down. I don't recall saying close the accounts. I never tell anybody to close their accounts.
Yeah.
Unless you're paying, you know, that a yearly fee.
But in the mind
of
someone who doesn't, I mean, it's the ultimate down. Well, that is down as far as it can go.
Right.
It doesn't even exist anymore.
Cut it up, threw it away.
Yep.
God bless you.
Which in a logical world.
Makes sense.
Makes absolute
sense.
That if I'm saying, Dan, I have $1 million and I'm willing to loan you $400,000 to buy a house. I want you to pay off and close everything. And I want you to sign something that says you're not going to open anything else up.
We used to, years ago, I worked at a high finance company, my first job.
Okay.
We would consolidate people's credit that had bad credit. We would make them, and I don't know how this was legal, but we did it, come in and cut up their cards at closing.
Yeah.
All they had to do is go back home and call and say, I lost my card.
Credit unions will still do the same thing. They will not make you cut up your cards, but they'll make you say, okay, listen, we're going to, you know, and it's a credit repair loan. So you're doing less harm than you are just paying something off and closing it. But they're actually, they're saying, okay, here is the loan. This is consolidating these cards, but we're going to make you close these accounts that we're buying out because we don't want you to rack them up again, which, realistically speaking, a lot of people will.
Right.
If you get a loan, say you get $15,000 in credit card debt, you get a loan, you wipe all those credit cards out. Woo-hoo! Now you got a bunch of credit cards with a zero balance. It might start with, well, I'm going to get a tank of gas, or let me take the kids to McDonald's or whatever else. It's going to end up with, well, I'm going to pay ComEd with this, and I'm going to go ahead and get my car insurance on this card, and, oh, I got a little extra cash this month.
Yep.
And,
yep.
No, you don't.
So here's... Now, if that credit card is charging you a hefty yearly fee and you never use it, you might think, okay, maybe I'll close it. What I'd highly suggest you do is make sure you have like 10 other accounts you have sufficient creditors to be able to take that hit of the closed account. But the young lady I was working with, she closed like 10 out of 15 accounts.
Ugh.
Her credit score was like 560. But everything was meticulous.
No black mark, no red marks.
Nothing.
Just a matter of.
She never missed a payment on anything ever. And I'm like, I'm looking at this thing
saying.
Just needs
to get that available credit up.
What? I mean, it made no sense. Collections. Here's a huge area where people shoot themselves in the foot. So let me just go over a collection. What is a collection? Well, basically, you didn't pay a bill. Okay, so what that company would do, say you had a dental bill and you never paid it. So finally that dentist says, you know, I'm tired.
They've
can't,
given up on you.
You can't get blood out of a turnip.
That's right.
So what they do is they sell off your debt. So they put it out on the open market and you owe them $1,000. Some company, XYZ collection company, comes in and says, you know, we'll give you $100 for that. Cool. So they take the $100 and then they write off the $1,000 on their taxes. So they get a tax benefit of, you know, bad loans. Now that collection company has a $100 collection that's truly owed $1,000. How they make profits, they're going to try to collect the whole $1,000.
Right.
So that's what they do. So what happens is on your credit report, what will show is a last active date. Now it could vary. Sometimes it'll show the dental when the dental company kind of said scrap it, and then the collection company took over. So let's say that happened in December of 2010, okay, and it's for $1,000. So what the credit bureau algorithms, sorry for that word, but reads is you have a collection from 2010. That's it. It doesn't say you owe $1,000. It doesn't read you have $1,000 or $10,000 or $1. That doesn't come into a variable.
Interesting.
What comes into the variable is collection. It's coded as such, and the last active date. So I have videos out there that say, "Don't pay your collections."
Yeah, that's not true of something from 3 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
There's more to the story.
Yes.
So in that case, what happens is that collection account from you from 2010, it's over 3, 4, 5 years old. It's actually 9 years old at this point. By paying it, all you're doing is changing the last active date to current. So you might get a hit. It could be a dramatic hit to your credit scores. So if your collection account is old, 3, 4 years old or more, do not pay it. You might come back and say, Dan, I owe $3,000 and the mortgage company is saying I have to pay that account to get the mortgage. Okay, let's do that at the closing.
Yeah. Or there are other mortgage companies out there who probably won't make you do that.
Yeah. Call me. So pay it off at the closing. Why? Because if you pay it off and then you send them verification that you paid it off, they might rerun your credit.
Yeah.
You might have a 50, 60, 70, 80 point drop.
Yep.
You just shot yourself in the foot.
Yep. And it's another thing that makes no sense whatsoever.
It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. So we went over closed accounts, collections, judgments. Judgments have to be paid.
Yeah.
It went through court. It went through everything. You have a judgment. You owe it. The judge says you owe it. The court says you owe it. You got to pay it. So let's say you do not have enough money. You have a judgment for $15,000. You don't have enough money to pay it in full, but you'd really like to buy a house because you have a 1-2-bedroom apartment. You now have your fourth kid, you know, blah, 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 walk you through it. You really need a house. Is if that judgment you're in payment agreements with and you've paid 12 payments to that agreement, you can now add that into your budget and that could be part of your, they call it the debt ratio. And if you fit with that, it would work. So if you've hit any of these issues.
I got a funny story about judgments.
Yeah, go.
If you want.
Yeah.
I actually saw this about 10 years ago, so like 2009, 2010. The credit union that was near my old house, which was in the city, had an advertisement in the window that said, consolidate your judgments with a loan. To get rid of, and I get it, but you know that loan was at 15%.
Judgments can go, at one time, the max they could go was 18%. I've seen them at 18. I think they are regulated.
Yeah, so if you have a $2,000 judgment and you leave it for 10 years.
You got a lot.
Yeah.
So you might want to.
You're going
to
want to pay those off.
Yeah, you might want to get a credit card with 0% interest on any, you know, whatever and something of that sort. So that should pretty much wrap us up for today. We went over collections, judgments, closed accounts, things like that on your credit. If you have questions on your credit, there's a website that we have, creditscoresandmore.com. I would suggest you do one thing. If nothing, go to that website, creditscores. It's plural, creditscoresandmore.com. Do yourself a favor. Sign up for something that's free. And what it gives you is a credit score. It's a Vantage score, but it's an educational score. It'll give you credit monitoring. It'll give you credit options on credit cards for 0% transfers, high rebates, mileage, you know, perks, all this other stuff. It'll give you educational tools. It'll give you blogs. It'll give you alerts. And it also gives you identity theft protection all for free. And I'll say this behind their backs. Don't subscribe to any of the paid services. Just do the free services. Do yourself a favor. Get protected with that. All that information, it's free. There's no strings attached. You don't even put in your credit card, anything. So please check that out. It's a sponsor of the show. But again, I am Dan Frio. I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you want to reach out to me, give me a call, 630-338-1160, or find me on the web at dan.frio, F-R-I-O, @gmail.com. God bless. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.